to please pray with me. Oh God, it is so great to be here to worship. You invited us to come and see as we reflect on this word about Jesus today. So open our hearts, open our minds, open our eyes, that we will indeed hear and see and receive all that you have for us in today's word. I pray that your Holy Spirit will guide me and use me as I share this message. Pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Isn't it ironic to forget your glasses on the day you do a sermon, come and see? Jeez. Our oldest son, Nicholas, and his wife, Vicky, and our grandchildren, Felicity and Phineas, live in a beautiful home not far from the college in Elizabethtown, Pennsylvania. And whenever we go to visit them, there's one thing I can always count on happening. Felicity and Phineas will call me and they will say, "Graham, come and see our room." So I get up and I wander into the room with them to see whatever it is that they want to show me. Now, Felicity always wants to show me her jewelry box filled with things that are special to her, like a watch that doesn't work, a spinner, you know, one of those spinning things, her pitch pipe that she got for Christmas, a set of three rings, beads, a seashell, and once in a while there's even something new that she's added to her treasures. Phineas, who shares the room with her, likes to show me things that he can do on their set of bunk beds. We usually need to take a few minutes to play then with their horse farm that's in the corner of their room. The last time I was there, we played hide and seek with the toy horses, and some of those horses were on the bottom of the hamper. Not fun. After spending time in their room, Felicity wants me to come and watch her do some gymnastic moves in the big room upstairs. Up there, she has a high bar and a mat, and she shows me her improved or her new moves, flipping around on that bar. And of course, Phineas, who's younger, doesn't want to be outdone. He will show me how he can jump on the little trampoline. Lately, Felicity's invited me to watch her draw. She's using a YouTube program that shows her how to draw pictures, and her latest interest is a series that has you're folding paper into thirds and drawing something on all three pages so that when you open it up, you have three different things, and when you fold it up, you have just one. These special invitations from Felicity and Phineas to come and see help me to know their interests. It helps me to know what's important to them. It tells me who they are. And as we engage and play together, we strengthen our relationship with each other. These are some very special moments of enlightenment and bonding. In today's scripture lesson, Jesus invites two of John the Baptist's disciples to come and see after they've asked him where he was staying. We learn from the beginning of the text that this event took place after John baptized Jesus, and he had proclaimed him to be the Messiah. The next day, John and two of his disciples saw Jesus walking by, and the two disciples began to follow Jesus. And Jesus noticed them following him, and that's when they asked where he was staying. And Jesus responded, "Well, come and see." Now remember, these two men were disciples to John the Baptist. But John told them that Jesus was greater than he. It was John's job to point others to Jesus. He wanted them to know that Jesus was the one they really needed to know and to learn from. They needed to learn from Jesus, not John himself. Jesus was the long-awaited Messiah who would come, who came to change the world. As followers of Jesus, it's also our job to point others to Jesus and not ourselves. There's a wonderful contemporary Christian song sung by the group Casting Crowns, which is one of my favorite groups, that reminds listeners of this lesson. The words to the chorus are, "And I don't want to leave a legacy. I don't care if they remember me. Only Jesus. And I've only got this one life to live. I'll let every second point to him. Only Jesus." Following Jesus is not about us and what we can get out of it. It's not about making a name for ourselves, getting strokes of affirmation, feeling proud of ourselves. It's about inviting others to come and see Jesus. And that's exactly what John was doing. Now, back to John's disciples, who apparently, on an impulse and prodded by John's announcement of Jesus' identity, just took off after Jesus. It appears that they had no plan other than to try to get close to him. Because when Jesus turned and asked them what it was they were looking for, they answered with a question. They didn't know what they were looking for. They said, "Where are you staying?" It could have been at this point John's disciples were simply trying to gather enough information so they could find a way to stay nearby, just close enough so they could listen in and tag along behind Jesus, you know, anonymously, maybe at a safe distance. Or maybe they really didn't know just what it was that they were looking for. Whatever the case may have been, Jesus didn't answer their question. He simply invited them, "Hey, come and see." And they did. They went not only where Jesus was staying, but you know what? They stuck around for a while, didn't they? Actually, they stuck around for the next 3 years. And then continued Jesus' ministry after Jesus' resurrection and ascension. Now, admittedly, we don't know exactly what happened when the disciples went with Jesus. The Bible simply tells us that they went and saw where he was staying, and they spent the day with him. Did they see Jesus interacting maybe with some family? Did they see him hosting the Sabbath meal or praying over food, singing a psalm, laughing at a joke? Yes, Jesus laughed, my friends. Jesus laughed. So maybe they were laughing at a joke. Telling stories. Do they see him sharing leftovers with the poor, talking to unclean people on their way home, talking about what to do about a widowed neighbor or a depressed friend? Did they hear some of his teaching, or was just seeing how Jesus lived on a random day life-changing enough? Here's the big question. Are you listening? How much time do you spend with Jesus? What has he been showing you? What have you been learning from him? There's a lot of other things competing for our attention. We choose which of those things. Yes, we choose. We choose which of those things we want to recognize and give our time to. Whatever we spend the most time with will shape who we are, how we live, and what we show others about what matters in our lives. We might try to justify our minimal or lack of time with Jesus using reasons like, "Oh, my schedule is just so busy," or, "After work, I'm just too tired. I fall asleep when I try to read my Bible and pray. Or I had so many other things on my mind, I just plain forgot." We can make excuses. But sometimes it takes discipline to make time for Jesus. Some Sunday mornings, it takes a lot of discipline to get up and go to church to worship God instead of rolling over because it's the only morning we have to sleep in. Taking a few moments each day to pray that short little take-a-moment prayer that I write for you to use to help you pray in your prayer life and to keep us, excuse me, and to build us in our unity as a congregation. It takes perhaps putting that little prayer on your refrigerator or on your bathroom mirror or something where you will be able to see it and then discipline yourself to pray that prayer. Jesus taught us how to pray. It doesn't need to be a marathon session of using all the proper phrases, coming together in some eloquent, most poetic sequence of sentences meant to impress Jesus. Prayer connects us with God. God just wants to spend time with you, the real you. With discipline, we can make sure to go to God, whether it's for a few minutes here or there, or for a dedicated time period, whether it's to say something to God, or whether it's just to listen to that still, small voice. Same's true when it comes to reading scripture. It takes discipline, doesn't it? We don't need to read the whole Bible in a year. We don't need to read a chapter a day. It may be that we pick up the Bible to read it and find ourselves drawn to a particular verse. Maybe the only verse we read is what we need to carry with us through that day. It may be what we need to ponder for that day, to sit with it for just a while. It doesn't have to be the whole Bible. It can be a verse that we read and add to our lives. It takes discipline to look for Jesus in your day. Now, I tell you, sometimes when Felicity and Phineas come to me and they want me to come and see their room, I'm really not interested at that particular moment. I might want to be talking to my son and his wife. But this is an invitation to spend time with them, to get to know them, to build our relationship. And so I just discipline myself enough to say, okay, I'll come back. I'll just go and look with them. It takes discipline to look for Jesus in our day, even though we're distracted. Perhaps recognizing his presence in a kindness that someone does for you. Perhaps in that kindness, he's reminding you to take time to extend kindness to someone that you know needs it. Or perhaps in a moment of anger, maybe you're at work and you're angry about something, but you can turn to Jesus even at work. Did you know that? You can turn to Jesus at work. And you can ask him to help you discern the best way of dealing with that anger instead of taking it out on someone. Or when somebody criticizes you, turn to Jesus, remembering that his love for you is greater than any criticism, instead of using someone's criticism to devalue your own self-worth. See, spending time with Jesus really does make a difference in our lives. He invites us to come and see, to experience, to learn, and to know all about him, whether we go with him out of curiosity or desperate need or discipline, we can be assured that something will be changed in us. Come and see, he says. Now, whatever the disciples who followed Jesus that day experienced, it was interesting or moving enough for them to tell some others about it, and to give them the same invitation to come and see. Our scripture text tells us that the one disciple, Andrew, went and told his brothers Simon Peter that they had found the Messiah. And he took Simon to see Jesus. And Simon ends up getting his name changed to Peter and hangs around for the next bunch of years. The Gospels go on to show us that the circle of Jesus' disciples grew, and they did not come and see what Jesus had to show them only one time. They were there again and again and again. They followed him, so they saw him all the time. Even more, however, they were so drawn to him and all that he had revealed to them that they followed him, they dug in and joined him in bringing his ministry to life and inviting others to join them. I expect it almost goes without saying that this is also true for us in our lives of faith. Listen to this. It's only as we join the mission and dig in and invite others to tag along that we really see what faith-filled lives can mean for the life of the world and, in turn, for ourselves. Say that again. It is only as we join the mission and dig in and invite others to tag along that we really see what faith-filled lives can mean for the life of the world and in turn for ourselves. Indeed, our faith grows as we follow the invitation to come and see over and over again. It is as we see kindness offered and find a way to practice it ourselves. It is as we gratefully receive the generous gifts of others and learn to share in turn from what we have been given. It is as we are prayed for that we learn to remember to pray for others. It is as we experience forgiveness and then seek reconciliation where it has been broken between us. It is as we hear the call for justice and join others in working for it. It is as we come and see in all these ways, as the disciples did with Jesus so long ago, that faith is born and it grows and is passed on. Yes, my brothers and sisters, Jesus is urgently calling all of us to come and see today, tomorrow, the next day, and the day after that, and every day after that. Come and bond with Jesus. And while you're digging in, while you're putting your work boots on, while you're putting your overalls on, whatever it is, to help in his mission, think about just who you might invite to come along and see as well. Our friends, our family, our neighbors, our world need us. They all need us, my friends, to invite them through all we say and do to come and see. We can change the world starting right here in our own little corner of it. And what a blessing it will be. Let every second point to Jesus. Amen.